using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, the 11th of May, year of our Lord 2021, day 423 of America Held Hostage. Today we have an update on what happened with Pastor Arthur Pulaski. We're going to be taking a look at a new update in the vaccine side effects, the cyber hack that is strangling the fuel supplies of the East Coast, and the trans agenda. It's not just the trans mental illness. They're coming after you with psychoacoustics. They're going to release the mushrooms from pharmaceutical companies, Pharmakia. All right, on day 423 of America Held Hostage, things are getting increasingly bad in Canada. As a matter of fact, as I pointed out over the weekend, you had the astounding arrest in the middle of a very busy freeway of Pastor Art Pulaski, who was guilty of holding church. He incited people to come to church. Imagine that. And of all places, Calgary. And we have some background on what is going on there, but also an update. The Canadian court granted bail to him, and this is being reported by Rebel News. They've been on this. They're in the area. They've been very good in terms of covering the lockdown tyranny there in Canada. As a matter of fact, some of it's been directed at them, with some reporters arrested, taken away in handcuffs as they were meeting and not violating any COVID regulations. But they say in the last 48 hours, since he was arrested, millions of people have watched the video and have chipped into a crowd fund operation for a legal team that they also put up. And they said, remember, the Calgary police have a longstanding vendetta against Pastor Pulaski. They've ticketed him literally dozens of times. And they said, we're sure they're going to try to get him again. And, of course, he was hailed as a hero because he was helping the homeless until he had a couple of people who objected to what he had to say about homosexuality as he was reading from the Bible. It wasn't his opinion. It was the Bible. You know, he's a Christian, so he follows the Bible. And we don't have free speech anymore, right? And so these two individuals said, we're going to get you. And since then, as he pointed out in the interview that I had with him, he's had a lot of run-ins with the local government. But just to give you an idea of what the local government is like, you have the mayor of Calgary. This is the town where this is happening. Mayor Naheed Nenshi said that the people who are protesting COVID are just white nationalist supremacists. They don't have a problem with this. You see what is happening with Pastor Pulaski. And there was also a cafe owner, the Whistle Stop Cafe, also in Alberta, locked down. They held a protest, and the police arrested him, fined a lot of other people. But according to this guy, the mayor of Calgary, there is no lockdown. It's just a bunch of white people. He said, those anti-mask protests, let's not kid ourselves. They're not people who are protesting because they need to eat. These are people who are marching in thinly veiled white nationalist supremacist anti-government protests. This is reported by the Western Standard Online. Who is this guy? I looked him up to see what his background was. He was actually born in Canada, but his parents were immigrants from an Islamic country. Two can play this game, Nenshi. I don't think you share the values of Western civilization. I think you're an authoritarian Islamicist who doesn't care about free speech or any other freedom. He was elected in the 2010 municipal election with 39% of the vote, the first Muslim mayor of a large North American city. He won with 39% of the vote. And he attended where he got his ideas, probably. Wasn't so much maybe even from his Islamic parents as it was from Harvard. He went to the John Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. When he got elected, he said he was going to put together a purple revolution. And the thing that I thought was interesting about that was that they have, red and blue colors in Canada. And so, the idea, we're going to have a mixture of people from both parties. We'll call it the purple revolution. In Canada, though, they give the liberals the color red. And they give conservatives blue. Why did they do it the other way here in the U.S.? Because always, Antifa and Black Lives Matter Marxists, they all love red, especially Antifa. They've always, going back to where Antifa began in Germany, they always used the color red. The Marxists always used the color red. As a matter of fact, when they were marching on May Day, the Antifa here in Austin had red flags with hammers and sickles on them. We used to always say, better dead than red, but then they told us we were red, and we said, oh, okay, whatever you say. You just tell us what color to wear, and now we're wearing them on caps. We got our red MAGA caps. Well, quite frankly, the MAGA regime that we had with Trump made us Marxists. Marxist America, not great again. Because locking us down, telling us that we're not essential, putting us on a government-issued allowance and all the rest of this stuff, denying our free speech, denying our ability to assemble, to go to church, to do any of this, that is pure on Marxism. But, it happened under Trump, so it can't be Marxism, right? It can't be bad. It happened under Trump. He said, mayor, Nenshi, said, it's been increasingly clear to me over the last several months of these marches that pretend that they're about lifting the lockdown. There is no lockdown, by the way, he said. Shops are open, schools are open, restaurants are open. People have the ability to go out and do many, many things that they normally would have done. They've increasingly become forums for hatred for white nationalist groups and others to attach themselves to this conversation. So, what happened to the Whistle Stop Cafe? That didn't happen. What happened to the two pastors in Alberta? That didn't happen, did it? There is no lockdown. And he's not in jail. It's just your imagination. The mayor previously demanded that the court system take the pandemic more seriously. He says, I think you're handcuffing the police. And we need to do much, much better. Well, they are. Now the police are handcuffing pastors. Are you happy about that, Mr. Islamicist? So he has been freed, Art Pawlowski. But the guards refused to let him out even after the judge signed the orders. They refused to let him out for hours. This is really amazing. What we're saying, maybe they were listening to this mayor of Calgary who said, we need the courts to do more. Well, if the courts won't do it, the prison guards can do it. Again, this is from Rebel News. They said this morning our legal dream team, they helped to crowdsource, argued the court and case. They argued for his immediate release from jail. The order was granted by Mr. Justice Germain, setting free both Pastor Arthur and his brother David, who was arrested by the same SWAT team raid in the middle of the highway that you saw. That should have been the end of it. The court order was signed by the judge and sent over to the jail called the Calgary Remand Center. And normally that would be that. Prison guards do whatever a judge tells them. In this case, that would be to release Pastor Arthur and his brother. But they didn't. The prison guards refused. They went rogue. Or more likely, they were ordered by the prison's director to disobey. Rebel News says, I wish I was making this up. I just got off the phone with one of Pastor Arthur's lawyers, and she told me the prison refused. They sent the order back, demanding that there be two separate release orders, one for each brother. And then they said the judge spelled David's name wrong, except they didn't, is how his name is spelled. It was reported in the press as David, but the way he spells it is D-A-W-I-D, just the way that Arthur doesn't spell his name Arthur, like we would in English. It's A-R-T-U-R. So his brother's name is David. They said that's how his name is spelled. It's Polish. And so back and forth went the paperwork. They said, since when do prison guards or even a prison warden tell a judge what to do? Since when do they have an opinion on the correctness of a judge's court order? Well, wait a minute. It seems to me like it is spelled this name here. I can't do nothing about that, right? Or whether or not the judge is correct. When I spoke with Pastor Arter's lawyer about this, I couldn't even believe it. Neither could she. We've never heard of a prison telling a judge to stuff it. The fact that those guards or the prison director himself haven't been immediately suspended shows that the government of Alberta, maybe the Calgary mayor, who says there is no lockdown, and we need to take the handcuffs off the police, and we need the court to do more, right? Maybe it's the Calgary mayor, or maybe the rest of the government of Alberta is exactly like him. Alberta is supposed to be a conservative area, right? Just like, Trump was supposed to have a conservative administration. How could this happen? This is happening under Boris Johnson, a conservative in the UK. It happened under President Trump, who was going to make America great again, not socialist, not communist. And he's a Republican. This can't possibly be true. This has got to be 4D chess. I just don't understand it. It's because you're a pawn if you buy into that. The government of Alberta not only approves of the illegal move, they probably ordered it. The government of Alberta had its day in court. They lost. They were represented by the Justice Department lawyers, by Health Department lawyers. Pastor Arter's excellent lawyers beat them and won his freedom. But some angry jailer thinks they're above the law. How is this anything other than a police state? How is Pastor Arter anything other than a political prisoner? I should also note that when our young reporter showed up to wait outside the jail for Pastor Arter's release, he was repeatedly threatened by officers that they'd arrest him too if he didn't leave. But he held his ground. It just shows how malicious they are. I gotta say, for all of 2020, for over a year, I was just disgusted that InfoWars would not stand up for our freedoms like Rebel News is standing up for the freedoms of people in Canada. Instead, they bowed down. If you want an analogy, it would be as if Rebel News would say, well, you know, we don't like this vaccine, but Kenny, Jason Kenny, the premier, is a conservative. So it can't be him. It's got to be 4D chess. I'm sure he's just doing this to try to fool those people on the left into voting for him next time, right? That was what you heard from Alex Jones and InfoWars for the last year. I couldn't take it anymore. After they continued to do it after the election, it's like, that's it. I'm not going to sacrifice my credibility on the nonsense of Steve Pachinik and the Sting and this servile, lickspittle attitude of these people to Trump. They're still doing it. They're still pushing that guy. Unbelievable. So kudos to Rebel News for not doing this with the conservative premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, who has betrayed his own people in every way. Just another day in Alberta's rapid descent in authoritarianism. Don't think for a second that any of this is about a virus. It's about power and fear. And for the press who excuses it, it's about having access and about having money, and about pleasing the crowd as you pacify them into slavery. Went on to say, tweeted out, this is from Ezra Levant. He said, Pastor Arter said they moved him and his brother David from jail to jail. They did not notify his lawyers of the fact. They also repeatedly denied his request to speak with his lawyers. His lawyers told me that they tried repeatedly to contact him, but they were ignored and denied. The pastor also tells me that at his bail hearing this morning, he was literally in leg irons, like he was a murderer who might run off or something. He said that they had initially sought to put him in solitary confinement for 24 days, which they claimed was a COVID protection measure. I mean, 24 days, 14 days is what they've, the magic number that they've come up with, right? Solitary confinement is widely regarded as a form of torture, and they did that to James Coates, the other pastor who was arrested. They did put him in solitary confinement and said it was, for protection against COVID, even though he didn't have any symptoms, didn't test positive. They kept him in solitary confinement. He got out 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. The pastor told me that they tried to force him to wear a mask as well, but they backed down when he refused. We spoke about a few other matters that I will not disclose, although the government is surveilling him and listening to his communications. They used sophisticated cell phone harvesting equipment to identify everyone who attended church. So we may get to the point where you need to leave your phone at home when you go to church. I typically take mine with me because I got a Bible on there with a lot of different versions, and I don't leave my phone. It's always in my pocket. But I leave my Bibles behind, so I that's why I do that with that. But it's not just this Islamicist guy. You got a guy who is a Sikh. His name is, surprise, Singh. It's like every Sikh person I've ever met. His name is Singh. Singh says opposition to lockdowns is linked to, wait for it, right-wing extremism, just like this Islamicist mayor of Calgary. This guy, however, is the federal NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh. He said there's a connection between protesters opposed to lockdowns and mandatory masks and far-right extremists. He said to brazenly not follow public health guidelines puts people at risk, and that is something that we've seen with extreme right-wing ideology. So if he believes that there's a risk, then therefore it must be right-wing if they're exposing you to a risk that he imagines. See how the dots are connected in their minds? Well, no, actually, they don't believe that either. Protests against lockdowns took place across the country over the weekend in Calgary, in Regina, and in Mirror, Alberta, where 1,500 people gathered. Protest organizers, including Chris Scott in Mirror, Alberta, were put in handcuffs by the Mounties and hauled away. In Calgary, Pastor Pulaski was arrested in the middle of a busy street, and in Regina, the People's Party of Canada leader, Maxime Bernier, I don't know how to pronounce the name, received a $2,800 fine. But Singh told reporters he sees a link between these protesters and the ideologies of the extreme right because they show a disregard for the well-being of others and they put people at risk. So if you think about individual rights and if you refuse the idea that people can take away your individual rights because of the mob, then obviously you're right-wing. Because we surrender the rights of the individual to the herd. Problem is that if the individual has no rights, nobody in the herd has any rights either. If the individual is not safe from forced medication, then guess what? Nobody else in the herd is either. An old college student in Canada says she feels her place in the institution is in jeopardy if she received a threatening call from a school official saying he was a health and safety risk. She was a health and safety risk. Yeah, he was, actually. After attending the No More Lockdowns Rodeo in Alberta that I covered last week, she said she attended the rodeo, and she posted some of the pictures on social media. Uh-oh. See, that's what it's for, total information awareness. It's to create a life log about you so that the thought police can at any time comb that and identify you. That's what Facebook and social media are for. That's what they were designed to do from the very beginning. That's why these people could operate for decades without making any profit, because they were getting lavishly funded by the intelligence agencies, by the venture capital firms that had these executives on the board, and by the CIA's own venture capital firm. This is what it was for. So she attended the rodeo. She put some pictures out there. She said she got a call from the head of occupational health and safety for the college, kind of like OSHA. She said the phone call was rude and belittling. You know, if this guy is OSHA, occupational health and safety, she should ask him about masks. Because always in the past, the masks have been limited by OSHA. You know, even if you worked in a very, very dusty environment that was hazardous, they would mandate that you had a mask for that kind of an environment, you know, and it actually does work for that, for big dust particles. But they would also say that you couldn't do it more than a certain period of time, very limited amount of time. It was not an 8-hour shift. They prohibited that. And now we have everybody everywhere having to wear these masks for an 8-hour shift. If you work in a restaurant or retail or anything like that, you got to wear it all day. It defies everything that they've always known. It flies in the face of what is healthy for you. So she should have asked him about that. He started by accusing me of putting up a vulgar F. Kenny posting on Facebook. Kenny being the conservative prime minister who's betrayed Alberta, like Trump betrayed America. She said, I didn't do anything with that. And he finally agreed with me. Actually, you know, there's a lot more that we can say about these turncoat traitor politicians like Kenny, Trump, Bojo. There's a lot more than we can say than just F them. There's a lot to say. A lot to say. Don't just limit your vocabulary that way. He then asked me if I had gone to the rodeo in Bowdoin, and I said yes. He said, I'm a hazard to the campus. At the end of the conversation, he said he'd be talking to the registrar of the college about my future at the school. Is it the little Marxist? The little Stasi snitch? You've been noticed, citizen. I'll report you to the committee, to the Soviet, because that's what a committee is, right? That's Russian for committee. He said, I'm so frustrated. I've been here so long, and now I can't even go to a rodeo that wasn't even on college time. The rogue rodeo was held outdoors, by the way. And as Western Standard Online said, we talked to doctors and to health experts. They said the risk of contracting COVID-19 outdoors was minimal. That's right. Going to go out there and see the horses, smell the hay and leather. No, can't do that. Keep you locked up. Here in Texas, there was a indoor fight at the AT&T Stadium. Now, she's going to get kicked out of college because she went to an outdoor rodeo. And it had maybe 1,500 people there. At this indoor fight that just took place in Texas, 73,000 people in attendance for the boxing match. As a matter of fact, it just set a record. Prior to that, the largest indoor crowd was 63,000 people. It's pent-up demand. It's not necessarily these boxers, I guess. I don't know. It used to be boxing before it became a TV event. Everybody knew who the boxers were because people would see it. But then they decided they would make it, you can only watch these things if you paid, and basically killed the popularity of the sport. Nobody knows who these boxers are. I have no idea. But it was Alvarez and Saunders fighting at the AT&T Stadium. They said that the stadium did not require masks, and they had unlimited capacity at the event. They said instead they encouraged masks. So it's fine. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. Knock yourself out. Literally. Oxygen deprivation. Turnout shows that things may be returning to normal sooner than later, said the CBS affiliate in Dallas-Fort Worth. No, what it shows is that there's no pandemic, CBS. That's what it shows. Just like these rodeos, the Whistle Stop Cafe, these two churches in Alberta, they show that there is no pandemic. And that's why they're coming down hard on them. Because they can't allow these people to show that the emperors have no clothes. So then the question asked by the New American is, Fauci killing Americans? That is actually the question of a Dallas doctor who testified before the state Senate. But he was a little bit more pointed because I've been asking that question for 423 days. Why is there no official treatment protocol for COVID? Why? Why is that? I want to know. I've wanted to know that for 423 years. Why are we having all treatments not only withheld, not sought, they weren't seeking any treatments, any therapeutics, and if somebody came up with something that they said, like Zelenko did, I treated and cured 1,000 people, then why were they vilified? Why were they attacked? Why were they censored? Why did many of them lose their license? Because they didn't want you to know that it was easily treated. And like I've said many times before, this is a situation very much like leprosy. Not only are those of us who are not going to be vaccinated, not only are we going to be the unclean, the untouchables, the lower caste of society, But we are also seeing something that is very much like leprosy itself. Leprosy is something that is easily handled by ordinary sanitary conditions, hand washing and things like that. But once it takes hold and starts to get to a certain critical mass, it is very difficult to control with anything, even with very strong pharmaceuticals. And that's really where we are with COVID, both the social implications as well as the medical implications. Something has gone off the rails in the world with the treating of COVID-19, said the doctor. For one thing, despite our being more than a year into the pandemic, there is still no official treatment protocol, quote-unquote, for the virus. This is a failure of the health establishment that has cost lives. This is Dr. Peter McCullough, Vice Chief of Internal Medicine at Baylor University Medical Center. Here's his credentials for all of you who don't care about thinking and all you look at is somebody's credentials. He's got them out the wazoo. Chief of Internal Medicine at Baylor. Chief of Cardiovascular Research at Baylor Heart and Vascular Institute. Program Director for the Cardiovascular Disease Fellowship Program at Baylor. Is that enough? McCullough made his comments last week in an interview on Tucker Carlson and also with the Texas Senate. He said something has gone off the rails in the world with treating a COVID, asserting that he has no agenda, but that he is, quote, deeply concerned about the science, the medical literature, the irregular response to the virus that kept populations in fear, in isolation, and in despair. He said there's an odd and suspicious lack of official treatment protocols. Let me tell you something, Dr. McCullough. They're by design. And this is being done by people who do have an agenda. You may just be looking at this and scratching your head and saying this makes absolutely no medical sense. And it doesn't. And you're right about that. And that's why it's pretty easy to understand they have an agenda. It's not negligence. He said he was told by medical colleagues in Milan, they said, listen, it's like a cold. Except the immune system goes crazy in the middle part of it, and then there's blood clotting and thrombosis, and that is what can kill you. So what do? Well, you stop it in the early stages, and that's easily done with a protocol that was done by Dr. Zelenko and many other people, HCQ, zinc, azithromycin for secondary infections. And so the doctor continued, and he said, so we take the edge off of the viral replication early. Except they don't here. Why? Because they want the lockdown. Just like in the past, all these public health officials, even when it was something like Ebola, two orders of magnitude, 100 times, more than 100 times more dangerous, more like 800 times more dangerous in terms of case fatality rate than COVID. And yet they said, there's no problem here. Don't worry about it. I mean, they would go to the extreme to underplay the risk of something in the past. Now they're going to the extreme to overplay it and to make sure that there is no therapeutic available. If anybody comes up with a therapeutic, they will be canceled. They will lose their license. So the doctor said, one would think that after all this time, there would be a consensus in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, and in other treatment centers for how to treat a COVID-positive patient or a resident, but this is not the case. The pandemic could have been over by now if those who tested positive had been immediately treated before they fell ill enough to be hospitalized. And that's exactly what Zelenko tried to do. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around. and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. All right, let's take a quick look at vaccines. We have, and I'm sure you've seen it, I mentioned it briefly, what has happened to the pipeline. I tweeted out when it happened over the weekend. I said, okay, so we've lost a pipeline that supplies 45% of fuel to the Northeast, according to a the reports of a cyber hack. It's a ransomware attack. And I said, the thing is, these hackers, these ransomware hackers, have done less to harm our energy production than Biden did in the first day, shutting down multiple pipelines permanently. But we're going to be talking to Goat Tree, hopefully at the top of the hour, about what's going on with this hack and with some other things, some malware that's been put out by the CIA. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to establish contact with him at the top of the hour. He's in an area, he said, where he's got kind of dodgy communications, so it may not happen, but we're going to try to do that at the top of the hour. Bette Midler, let's take a look at vaccines. Bette Midler puts out a tweet, says, if my kid can't bring peanut butter to school, then yours can't bring the deathly plague. The deathly plague. What is she talking about here? Have you seen a deathly plague in the streets? Have you seen people falling down in the streets except for the fake videos that we got out of China at the beginning of this? No, it's not a deadly plague. Sorry. She said, vaccinate or I'm bringing the Jiffy, meaning a Jif peanut butter. By the way, her kid is 34 years old. What is her kid doing taking peanut butter to school at 34? Hollywood is strange, isn't it? Yes. She's in her 70s now. And her one child, is a grown woman, 34 years old. She doesn't have any grandchildren. A lot of people, even people who are pro-vax, were very angry about making jokes about life-threatening food allergies. Well, you know what? I don't like when we have people who have allergies to vaccines. I don't like mandates, threats from private corporations, total disregard. And in that sense, I think it is a good analogy, even if she's got it going in the wrong direction. We should recognize and respect people's medical issues and their medical informed consent. We should respect the doctor-patient relationship, period. Your job is to convince me that what you've got is safe, effective, and that you even bothered to test it, which we know you didn't do. And so, yeah, I take this a lot more seriously than if my child had a very serious peanut butter allergy. I mean, that can be very serious. As some people say, my kid just smells it. And I know kids that are like that. The question is, where did that kind of stuff come from? Is that connected to vaccines? Used to not see that kind of stuff. A healthy 17-year-old boy gets blood clots in his brain after COVID vaccine. This is a 17-year-old basketball playing student. His mother said, the hardest thing was I let him get that shot. He was healthy and well before. The child, Everest Romney, 17, felt his neck swell the day after his Pfizer vaccine, then experienced severe headaches. A doctor dismissed the symptoms as just a pulled muscle, but she was convinced that there was something more. He could not move his neck without the assistance of his hands. So she took her son for tests. The doctor discovered two blood clots inside of his brain and a third on the outside. He was treated for time in an intensive care unit and remains hospitalized. She said, knowing what she knows now, she would have made a different decision. See, the saddest thing about all this is that if she had not been lied to and gaslighted by the mainstream media, she would have known that her 17-year-old son had zero risk of dying even if he got COVID. Even according to the CDC's own figures. CDC reports two more infant deaths following experimental COVID injections during clinical trials. They're in clinical trials now, and they're giving them to children that are very, very young. Now, today they have, or actually yesterday evening, they gave emergency use authorization all the way down to 12 years old. But we just had a couple of very young children, one age 2, another one age 1, die, put into the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Now, going back to June of 2018, I reported that two children went into a hospital in Samoa and were given the MMR vaccine. The first one, the toddler, they were about 2 years old, both of them. That was when there was the schedule when they were supposed to get it. So the toddler is given a vaccine and immediately drops dead. Right there. Everybody's panicking. There's a mother waiting in line with her child. And starts to get up and say, we're leaving. They said, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the vaccine. Come on in, we'll do your sign. They convinced her to come in, gave her child a vaccine. He immediately dropped it. The people were outraged. They stopped all vaccines for quite a while in Samoa and even in New Zealand. That's where they picked up the story. That's where I saw it. It was not reported, of course, by our press because they're beholden to big pharmaceutical profits to be able to pay their anchors multi-million-dollar salaries. But that is a normal reaction. If you have a situation like that, you would want to know why that happened. Now, of course, they immediately came out and said, it's not the vaccine, and it's not the hospital's fault. It's the nurse's fault. And they probably didn't refrigerate this properly. And that's why I've said from the very beginning of this, what is going on with these vaccines? What is going to happen if they're not refrigerated at, what is it, minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit or something, some absurd temperature like that? What happens if it's not refrigerated? Because what they were saying at the time was, well, you know, things like this can happen. You give somebody an MMR vaccine, and that's about 3% of the deaths, according to the CDC, over the last 31 years. Came from MMR vaccines. But, you know, we've had 46% of the deaths over the last 31 years cataloged by the VAERS system have come from, wait for it, the COVID so-called vaccines. 46%. The next closest one was about 16%. And I want to clarify that. The doctor who sent that to me brought it to my attention. He said, make sure you know, and I don't know if I misspoke or if I didn't make it clear enough. That's just the deaths. We've got an update about the adverse effects, total adverse effects, but the deaths are even higher in terms of percentage than the adverse effects for the last 31 years, the entire time they've been taking this information. But I had the question about that when I saw the extreme refrigeration requirements for these vaccines. And subsequently, we found out that Pfizer, according to Argentina and Brazil and a third Latin American country, they said they were being essentially blackmailed by Pfizer to give them not only legal immunity for the design of their vaccine, but also legal immunity in case they didn't manufacture it properly or in case it wasn't refrigerated properly in shipment, which made me think, well, maybe it is going to become toxic rather than just inert, you know, because when you have medications expire, one or two things can happen. It can lose its potency or it can become toxic. So that was my question about it. Going back to that summer of 2018 story. But here in America, what happens when we have two toddlers immediately die from a Pfizer vaccine? Full speed ahead, we don't care. We're going to get this approved for them as well. Why? Because we got to chase this magic number. If I get the entire population up, and that means that I need to include the kids in this who have zero risk of getting sick or dying with this. But if I can include them in and get the magic number up, then I can get some of my freedom back, maybe. So sacrifice the children, by all means, to these big pharmaceutical profits and the control and surveillance agenda of the globalists. While none of the COVID injections have emergency use authorization for children under the age of 17 yet, well, that's changed today. Now they dropped it to 12. There are ongoing trials with children being injected as young as 6 months old. What kind of a parent would enroll their child as a guinea pig? I mean, they're not even getting paid to do that to their child. One of the infants who died was on a Pfizer trial. The other was on a Moderna trial. They give the bear's ID numbers here. You can find this on Vaccine Impact. 2-year-old baby in Virginia died 5 days after injected. A 1-year-old baby in Florida suffered convulsions and seizures after the shot and then died 2 days later. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, Duke University, you have a TV doctor who goes on all the time on local television. He put out his 5- and 7-year-old children, said, look, they participated in the Duke-Pfizer trial. And see, they're still alive. They're kicking. They're great. You should all do this. If enough school children get vaccinated, the community can get closer to herd immunity level. You have to have permanent immunity to have herd immunity. The concept precedes the vaccine idiocy that we have here. And if you don't have lasting immunity, you will never have herd immunity. That's what the bell-shaped curve was about. You don't need to have that. And these people are not, these children are not a risk to you except in your statistical imagination. As far as the timeline, Pfizer expects to have approval for the FDA for kids as young as 2 by this fall. One person posted on social media, Amanda said, I've had both of my shots, and yes, the vaccine does work. As my first vaccine, I got COVID and pneumonia. But wait for it. I mean, she's not being sarcastic here. This is what's even funnier. I landed up in a hospital on oxygen. I was told if it hadn't been for the vaccine, I would have been on ICU. So it does work. See, it works because they told her it worked. Disregard the fact that you got sick, just like people disregard the fact for years. Oh, you get a flu shot and you immediately get the flu, right? How many times have we seen that? We've seen it with celebrities doing this. People don't learn. It makes absolutely no sense. Just like the vaccine, they're saying, well, you know, we got the variants out there. Mutant variants are coming, right? You got to get the vaccine. It's going to help you probably a little bit with that. How do you know that? Have you done any tests, Fauci? No, he's just making this stuff up. Quite frankly, you know, when we look at the flu shots, they have to, long in advance of it happening, they have to vaccinate you for a particular strain of the flu. How do they know which one it's going to be? Well, answer is they don't. They don't. Because the flu is constantly changing, just like coronaviruses. The rhinoviruses, the coronaviruses are constantly mutating. Because they're viruses. They're copying errors. Pfizer seeks full approval for the COVID vaccine, even though there have now been, as of April 30th, there was 157,000 total adverse events reported to bears, including 3,800 deaths. There was 16,000 serious injuries, up 2,467 from the previous week. But here's where we are in terms of injury. Remember, I said yesterday, if you look at the CDC's own data and you rank it by vaccine type and you look at the number of events reported, you have, for deaths, as I pointed out yesterday, 46% of all the deaths that had happened for vaccines over the last 31 years happened in the last 3 months with these COVID vaccines. Think about that. Half of them happened in one quarter of a year versus the other half that happened over 31 years. And now we see that the injuries, the COVID vaccines are at the very top of that as well. 18% of the injuries, 159,000 injuries, 18% of them from the COVID vaccine. The flu vaccine was number 2 at 11%. The zoster vaccine, I don't know what that is, 9.6%. MMR, 9% in terms of injuries. But, you know, it's not even close. It's nearly 2-1 over the next most dangerous vaccine. Always the flu vaccine was the one that had the most injuries. And again, it made absolutely no sense because they don't even know what to vaccinate you for. It's a crapshoot. And this stuff is crap. Now we're up to 4,178 dead Americans. That is now equal to the previous 20 years combined. Remember, it was just a couple weeks ago, I said, oh, look at this. We're 3 months in, and it wasn't a full 3 months. We had enough people in that one quarter that was equivalent to the last 11 years combined. And the time we did it the week before that, it was compared to the last 10 years combined. In 1 week, it went up to the last 11 years combined. Now it's accelerating because now the number of people who have died in 4 months is equivalent to the last 20 years combined. In Europe, you see that the number of cases have gone up to 8,430 people reported dead to their reporting system, 354,000 injuries in the European database. This is, folks, insanity. This is drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, I'm going to move over to the trans agenda now because we've got about 10 minutes before hopefully we're going to be able to establish contact with Goat Tree. As we look at what is happening, understand that the trans agenda is, as I look at these stories as to whether or not they're going to pass the bill here in Texas, and of course there's been a lot of discussion about this. One of the Texas legislators called a woman crazy for asking him why he wouldn't support this child gender transition bans. Okay, they're saying we're not going to allow chemical or surgical modification of children, especially even pre-puberty children. And the Republicans are waffling on that, trying to stop the bill. I don't know whether I couldn't find out any information as to whether or not that got put on the calendar. They were holding it back. The Republicans in Texas were holding that back. See, the Republicans can cheer Bruce Jenner and say, "Oh yeah, we should have protection of women in sports," except for Kristi Noem. But other Republicans will say, "Yeah, that's right." And you know, Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, she's or he is got the right idea. It's just not fair. But I said the big elephant in the room is the pedophile agenda, and they don't seem to care about mutilating young children who do not have the understanding to consent to that, right? And why do we have statutory rape? Because they said, well, you know, the children are too susceptible to being groomed or being deceived or being seduced by somebody who's more sophisticated. But we allow our children to be groomed, seduced by people who are very sophisticated psychologists in the schools into thinking that they are gender confused and then permanently altering their bodies. And you've got Republicans who are not standing up for that. Take a look at what is happening in the UK if you want to know what is going to be coming to America. A Christian chaplain in a school that was a Christian school has now been accused of being a terrorist, dismissed from his job for preaching a sermon on the campus of Trent College on religious rights. I mean, he wasn't even talking about Christ. He was talking about political rights. He preached that religious beliefs are protected in law, that students are not required to accept the LGBT ideology. And now he's taking the school to court for discrimination, for harassment, victimization, unfair dismissal. He was excluded from campus discussions on whether or not to adopt an LGBT-promoting agenda because they said that he would disagree. They knew that he would disagree. He's a Christian chaplain. And so he said he had somebody who contacted him and said, "How come we're told we have to accept all this LGBT stuff in a Christian school?" So he preached a sermon. And he said this, he said, "For Christians, where there is disagreement, it is vital to love their neighbor, leaving no room for personal attack or abusive language towards anyone." And I thought, I don't think he understands. This is why this is happening. Because Christians are too soft. Too soft. Is this what John Knox would have done? No. Is it what Peter would have done, or Paul would have done, or Jesus? Jesus called out the people that he believed were wrong. He didn't spare them. He called them a brood of vipers, the Pharisees. And make no mistake about it, these people are Pharisees. They've got their little religion. It's a very intolerant religion. They demand that you follow it, that you go through all of this, that you celebrate it. And if you don't, there is no tolerance from them. They don't have any problem with abusive language, and I'm not saying that we have to engage in tit for tat, but we have to call this out, and we have to understand that Christianity, that Christ, is an offense to people, and we have to not shy away from that. We have to not shy away from people who are robbing us of everything in this civilization. Our right to earn a living, our right to travel, our right to go to school, our right to worship. They're robbing us of everything. And we hold our fire because they're Republicans or because they're Trump. The designated safeguarding lead in the school, this is a person like the hall monitor for the LGBT, began the process of reporting Dr. Randall without his knowledge to the government's counterterrorism watchdog as a potential religious extremist. This little Hitler youth leader does that. By the way, the curriculum is produced by Ellie Barnes, an LGBT activist. It's called Educate and Celebrate. See, how many times have I said that? I said, they don't want you to tolerate what they do. They demand that you celebrate it. They demand that you submit to them, that you worship what they do, because they're proud of what they do, even at Christian schools. Seeks to embed gender identity, and sexual orientation into everything in the school. Where have we seen that before? That's here in America. She describes it as her attempt to, quote, smash heteronormativity. Heteronormativity. Yeah. She doesn't like things that are normal. She doesn't like things that are heterosexual. He said, I never thought my sermon would lead to me being reported as a terrorist. Well, wake up. Wake up and fight back. Grow a spine. I don't have any sympathy for this guy. He's trying to be nice. He's trying to play along. He doesn't understand this is a spiritual war. They're not taking any prisoners here. His job description says he is, quote, the particular voice and embodiment of Christian values. That's why this school is in so much trouble. So the police investigate him, said, well, he's not a terrorist. But then they went on to attack him. He said, my story sends a message to other Christians that you're not free to talk about your faith. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And don't shy away from the punishment. It seems it is no longer enough to just tolerate LGBT ideology. You must accept it without question. No debate is allowed without serious consequences. Someone else will decide what is and what isn't acceptable, and suddenly you can become an outcast, possibly for the rest of your life. Do you understand the Marxist rules? This is what Solzhenitsyn said. They will tell you whatever they wish to tell you, and they love to tell you things that make absolutely no logical sense, like the transgender stuff. Because it's about them establishing their authority over you. And once you agree to that, then they'll tell you something else. You know, Sally thinks she's a giraffe. So, you know, pretend that she's a giraffe now. They don't play by their rules, folks. So we shouldn't play by their rules. They're not civil. Don't play by their rules. Mr. Civility, Mr. Legalism. Read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He knows what happens when you stand up to somebody for your freedom of religion. And then here in the U.S., we have the United Methodist Church, which is in the throes of splitting, over this very issue. And to give you an idea of what this looks like, you have in Bloomington, Illinois, a guy who's 23 years old, Isaac Simmons, otherwise known as Ms. Pentecost. Oh, clever. Ms. Pentecost. So he spoke on Drag Sunday, which is a virtual service. He appeared on a virtual church service in drag as his alter ego, Ms. Pentecost. And they had other drag performers involved in the music and prayers. The leftist, I would say socialist, actually Marxist, sojourners reported on him and said, preach the gospel, and when necessary, do it in drag. Local TV station thought it was great. They thought it was breaking barriers. Well, no, actually, Al Mohler took it on with an essay, and he actually got this one right. He was very wrong about the vaccine stuff. and about social distancing stuff. He's worshiping that vaccine. But he at least sees this for what it is. He says, it is an intentional refutation and revolt against the very order of creation that God has given us, a direct violation of the clear teaching of Scripture concerning the fact that those whom God has made as men should identify as men. He says, you're looking at two different religions, and those two religions cannot possibly continue to exist in one church or in any denomination. And their religion is one of, is based, as I pointed out the other day, and I actually mispronounced the guy's name. He's French, so I should use the French pronunciation. I called him Michel Foucault. Actually, the French is Michel Foucault, right? These French people just love to put T's on the end of words just so they can make us look stupid. But this guy was the father of postmodernism. He was a pedophile, but he was the father of postmodernism. And that's what this is all based on, fundamentally. It all goes back to postmodernism. That is the foundation they built this on. The idea that there is no absolute truth, except their absolute truth that there is no absolute truth. It is an absolutist, dogmatic, intolerant religion on all points. It demands that you submit, and you must not. You must not. Matter of fact, Montana has now signed their gender, the protection for girls in sports, and that's fine, but what we really need is something like is being discussed but held up by the Republicans in Texas, and that is to protect these children from this pedophile agenda that people like Michel Foucault would impose upon you. Biden administration is jumping in and saying that they're going to withhold any funding from any medical care facilities. They will have their federal funds removed if they do not support the health rights of transgender people. Well, you know what that means. What is really in view here is the idea that you will have to perform any kind of gender surgery or chemical stuff that they wish. And this is being pushed by Javier Becerra at HHS, the attorney out of California that they selected for all of this. And guess who his assistant is, right, at HHS? You remember him, right? He's Dr. Rachel Levine. And so what they are doing is now they're financially blackmailing people with HHS, saying that they have to do this. You know, it gets even stranger, of course. We now have the psychedelic revolution that is coming, says DeNews. Psychiatry may never be the same. They're now embracing LSD, magic mushrooms, ecstasy. That's right. You know, the New England Journal of Medicine, the New England Journal of Medicine said the same people who were upset about coercion of vaccines. We don't want to make it government mandated. We want to make it corporate coerced, right? They said. And now they're saying, well, we need to embrace psychedelics. Again, we're going right back to that term translated out of the Greek, right? The Greek was pharmakia, and they translated that in the Bible as sorcery. And, you know, when we think about the environment that we're living in right now, made me think of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I really feel like the world that we live in right now is even stranger than the mental institution portrayed in that film.
This is good for you.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea of taking something if I don't know what it is.
Don't get upset, Mr. McMurphy.
I'm not getting upset, Miss Bilbo. It's just that I don't...
If Mr. McMurphy doesn't want to take his medication orally, I'm sure we can arrange that he can have it some other way. But I don't think you'd like it, Mr. McMurphy.
He's not talking about an arm injury.
You'd like it, wouldn't you?
Well, give it to me.
Good. Very good.
Yummy.
Yeah, it's medication time in America, isn't it? And, you know, like you said, well, what is it? You know, well, I don't like taking something. I don't know what it is. Well, you will take it, or we'll give it to you in a way that you don't like. And that's really where the New England Journal of Medication is. It's the New England Journal of medication time. That's what these guys are about. You know, I go back and I think about Brave New World, because that seems to be predictive programming for where we are. And I was just telling Karen, I said, when I was in high school and we were reading that, I thought they were trying to push it on us. You know, this is as opposed to showing it as the dystopian nightmare that it really is. You know, a gram is better than a damn. You know, don't give a damn. Just take your gram of medication and a trip out. And that's basically what they're talking about with psychedelics now. This is how they're normalizing all this stuff. We're not going to have decisions about what we are allowed to do. And as in this article from DeNews, at least they're saying, well, you know, there is a concern, even from the people who are advocating this as psychologists, that if we commercialize this, commercialize it, add a profit motive to it, oh, it might get really bad. They said, not long ago, this was considered to be fringe science. Well, you know what? Masks were considered to be fringe science not that long ago, not just shrooms. And now they're all mainstream science. So this is the cuckoo nest that we live in. And guess what? The people who are pushing this so hard, Johns Hopkins, Yale, Berkeley, the usual suspects. All right, we're going to try to establish contact with Goatree, and we'll be right back with him if we can make that contact. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family. It's Goatree, and I've talked to Goatree before. He is in cybersecurity. He's a white hat. He knows what's going on with this. And just to give you some background before we get Goatree to fill in some of the details. Right now, we have our biggest pipeline, and it supplies 45% of the fuel to the Northeast, has now been shut down because of a ransomware attack. Now, they say that they are in charge, and this is what I want to talk to Goatree about. They say, well, we've got control of this, but we're not going to open up yet. It hasn't done any damage, and we can reopen. The FBI is pointing the finger at a ransomware gang known as DarkSide, so we'll get an update from that from Goatree, whether or not he thinks that's the situation. But here's what it looks like. You got stations all across North Carolina that have declared a state of emergency. You got cars lining up for fuel in Asheville, North Carolina. They're out of fuel. Lines are forming at outlets that still have supplies. Marathon Gas Station in Elizabethtown, North Carolina, so that's on the coast as opposed to the mountain. I had roughly two dozen cars waiting to fuel up. It has affected people all up and down the coast, not just North Carolina, but it has also affected 17 states and the District of Columbia. The ransomware group says we're not about creating chaos. This is not an attack on anything. We're just trying to make money. So joining us now is Goatree. Goatree, what is going on with this? I mean, what do you know about what is happening with this ransomware attack?
Well, we have a saying, and it's a military saying that was borrowed, and you were talking about rodeos earlier. This is what you classify as a goat rodeo. Y'all can look that one up. I can't say what it does the description on air.
I've never heard that expression before.
I'll have Travis Google it real quick and read it to you while I run down this. I'm on a list of This is an up-to-date list that's being put out by researchers and investigators.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you about the dark side. It's pretty clinical. I'm just going to let everyone know where we're at with this.
Okay.
Dark side's been around only about 9 or 10 months.
Hmm.
And they're not an old organization. They may have been one that morphed from a previous organization. And they have an intriguing code of conduct. For instance, they will not extort from hospitals, funeral homes, nonprofits. They do target large corporations and sometimes donate the proceeds to charities.
Huh. I wonder why that. Wait a second. I understand the hospitals. Why a funeral home? I don't get that.
I have no idea.
You've kind of heard of the funeral home. Anyway, I'm sorry. It just struck me as odd. So they're kind of a Robin Hood organization, right? They try to portray themselves as good guys.
As it sounds, and now it gets a little more interesting with these guys. You have to bear with me because I'm going to be swapping screens here. But this is something I haven't been listening to MSM News. I'm in a place where it's really hard to pay attention to this. So I may be going directly against the narratives. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They use a language ID program to perform language checks. If the victim uses any languages below, dark side moves on. Now, in a second, I'll tell you the languages they will not deal with. Okay, they will not deal with Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, Tajik, Armenian, Azeri, Latin, Georgian, Kazakh. I can't pronounce this one. I'll just take a try at it. Kyrgyz, Cyrillic, Turkmen, Uzbek, Latin, Tatar, Romanian, Moldova dialect, Russian, Moldova dialect, Azeri, Cyrillic, Uzbek, Cyrillic, and Arabic, Syria.
I didn't hear pig Latin on there. Can we preserve our corporations and infrastructure if we start communicating in pig Latin? Or maybe we just all need to learn Russian so they don't attack us, right? Well, it's obvious that these guys, that looks kind of suspicious as to where they are then, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's their list that they will not deal with.
Huh.
And I don't know if they're blaming the Russians. They seem to have a real phobia for the Eastern Bloc type side. So I'm just reading the notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I got onto the state-sponsored, what technically identifies what a terrorist is, or state-sponsored. And it goes from state-prohibited down to state-integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Up here at the top on state-prohibited, okay, they're prohibited from doing this. There's no, this is the definition of it. Low.
Uh-huh.
Inability to secure more attacks and then prosecuted. State prohibited, but inadequate. Low inability to secure companies and stop attack. State ignored. High disregard for private attacks will fail to seriously investigate. And it goes on down. Does any of that sound like these characters of that are claiming to have done this? I mean, they put out a press release. I mean, I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a hacker group put out a press release stating, hey, we're criminals. We're not terrorists.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is strange. So it's a new group. They're saying we just want cash. We're not terrorists, and they are excluding any Russian language attacks. Now, the thing that I'm immediately concerned about, Goatree, is the fact that we've had the Obama administration, which we're now in the third term of, say in the past that if there is an attack on our infrastructure, a cyber attack on our infrastructure, then that is the same as if they had dropped a bomb on us, physical bomb,
yeah.
And we are justified and will retaliate against such a thing as that, which immediately raised all kinds of red flags with us, because we know from Vault 7, which was the CIA's program, and that was released by WikiLeaks. They released the instruction manual that showed that these guys could pose as anybody. They could make it look like it was the communications and the programming were written in Cyrillic or in Chinese or in North Korean or whatever, so they could identify as their foes and do these types of things. So we know the CIA does stuff like that. We know that they have the technology that they've designed to masquerade as their opponents, so they can do a false flag. This is something that looks very suspicious to me.
Not to me, because I've got a list of their active hacks. And let me tell you, since they came into existence 9 or 10 months ago, they have conducted 91 attacks they've been credited with.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some of the companies. Smile Brands.
Smile?
Here's a what, smile.
What?
I don't know. They're on the list. Legal services.
Uh-huh.
Automotive. I guess I shouldn't be dropping names. Insurance carriers. Hey, I like these guys.
Maybe they'll give you a kickback on some of the stuff that they get.
Well, anybody that's anti-insurance, sure, they're good in my book. IT services, legal services, a trucking company, a shoe company, a dairy.
Hmm. So you're thinking that because of the long list of people that they've hit, that they really are about just getting cash. This isn't some kind of false flag front group.
Grocery store. Here's a grocery store. These are they're opportunistic.
Yeah.
Why would a government entity attack a supermarket chain in, like, Kentucky?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They were able to get into the system and try to extort some money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not this. And secondly, the malware's been identified. It's off the shelf. It's a custom RSA-1024 and a combination of SALSA 20. Which is hybrid cryptographic.
Mm-hmm.
And it is wrapped in an athlib compression Trojan to insert. Now, this is stuff you can take existing software, tweak it a little bit, and you're in business. This is not a sophisticated hack.
Mm-hmm.
This is ransomware on the scale of threats down at the bottom.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem is, and this is what they do not want to say, is Colonial fumbled the ball badly. Now, you want to go down that road?
Yeah, talk about how people get ransomware. Is it a phishing attack with some email or something like that they open up?
Well, strangely enough, in that statement that they made, I want to come back to that for a second, because this is where it gets really interesting. Our goal is to make money, not creating problems for society. Well, they failed at that part. Today, we will introduce moderation and check each company that, and here's the key words, that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future. Wait a minute, these guys got partners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who are these partners? Now, this is their statement. I don't know. I'm reading what they put out. They're partners. Could it be an insider in the company that's going to get $1 million for clicking on that link that is in the email?
Hmm.
Sorry, Fearing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, what the FBI put out in their press release, they said it is ransomware as a service variant, where criminal affiliates conduct attacks and then share the proceeds with the ransomware developers.
Okay, I didn't see that. I don't pay much attention to what the FBI puts out.
Well, I mean, you're saying that it's a pretty simple off-the-shelf thing, so I don't know if, you know, if they've got some secret sauce there that's so valuable that they franchise this. I mean, that's what they're saying. It's like a hacking franchise.
Exactly. Well, okay, they put together some nuts and bolts, and, I mean, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would think that most, like FireEye and these guys, would have caught it good straight out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of ball fumbling going on, and I think Colonial probably made the biggest error of it all. But the thing is, they're partners now. Who are their partners?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it was done from the inside.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what we got with what Colonial did. I mean, these noobs figured out how to shut down 45% of the fuel in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is clearly a goat rodeo. Like I said, look it up.
So what do you know about what they were able to lock down? I mean, did Colonial is saying that they didn't physically damage anything, but I guess they shut it down so they can't operate. What do you know about what's going on at Colonial now?
Okay. This is probably going to really, I don't even know if they want this story out here. So here's what happened, at least from the notes that I am working off of. I don't have anything to do with Colonial, and I don't have anything to do with Dark Side. I'm just working with what the researchers and investigators are stating.
Right.
What happened was this malware struck only the IT network, not the operational network. Colonial overreacted, and instead of isolating the servers that were being encrypted, and this was very simply easily avoided, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Colonial overreacts and shuts down its complete operation as a precaution to avoid the spread.
Mm.
They issued some more. The company learned of the attack on some of its information technology and corporate network systems, but proactively took certain systems offline to contain the threat.
So they contacted Fauci and he told them, lock it down.
Yeah.
They locked everything down.
So instead of finding out, isolating IT servers and finding out what the ransom was, these guys of this size probably have cyber insurance or insurance against ransomware. Well, I don't know the details on what was asked for, but let's just say DarkSide say, hey, we want $1 million and we'll send you the encryption.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Somebody picks up the phone, calls the insurance, say, hey, we've got a crypto issue going on here with hackers. We need for you to buy X amount of Bitcoin to send us. And then in return, if they have any conscience at all, they will send you the unlock code. So this could take a matter of an hour or two.
And just to make sure everybody understands, we assume that everybody understands, ransomware, they're going to encrypt your disk, your data, whatever, and so that you can't access it. And then if you pay them, and if they're good criminals, they will give you the key to decrypt everything they just encrypted, right? And if they're bad guys, they'll just keep the money and run,
they
right?
They just take your money and leave you, hang it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're out there, but anyhow, apparently, either they didn't have this insurance, or the insurance said, nah, we're not going to pay it. Okay, then it comes back to the company. And also, they did ask $5 million. I don't know the amount. You know, this is less than an hour's of operating time for these guys. I know it sucks having to pay a ransom, but you've got 45% of the nation's fuel supply at risk.
The Eastern U.S., 45%, yeah.
But I'm sure someone said, nah, we don't deal with terrorists. Well, these guys aren't terrorists. They're criminals. Okay, nah, we don't deal with criminals. Just turn everything off.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes them a week or 2 weeks to turn it back on. It's equivalent to a person that makes $1,000 an hour. They get out in the wind and a dollar bill blows away, and they're going to spend 6 hours looking for that dollar bill. You know, they'll lose $6,000 to recover one.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty much, you know, these guys need to be in the goat tree. You asked me once why goat tree, it's so ridiculous. That's correct. This is the type of stuff that goes on in the corporate world. It's absolutely ridiculous. If Travis is any good with graphics, take one of the goats that y'all use and put Colonial Pipeline on it. Put them in the goat tree.
Talk a little bit to me, because as you mentioned, they've got a record. They're not very old, this group, but already they've hit 91 different businesses, some of them very small businesses. So what should people do to protect themselves against ransomware?
Well, it goes back to, and it's actually freeware. Edward Snowden recommends it. It's called Qubes, Q-U-B-E-S. Mm-hmm. If you go to Qubes.com, you're going to have to retrain yourself. What it does is it compartmentalizes your hard drive and your data. You set it up however you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I go out looking for nasties. It's part of what I do. I go out looking for malware. I go out looking for the really nasty stuff. And if I capture one and I lose control of it, all I do is collapse that compartment and it all goes away. And I rebuild the compartment, put my email, whatever, back in it. And that's how you handle ransomware, mm-hmm. if you had it compartmentalized. These guys in IT department, why they don't have some sort of compartmentalization going, I don't know.
And that's better than having something like McAfee or some of these things that are out there going to be scanning for something that's already known, because they're constantly making new things. But if you compartmentalize it, then once that compartment gets compromised, you just shut that down.
Yeah, you delete it.
Yeah.
And then rebuild it, throw your email back in it. Encryption, malware, everything gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Qubes is free. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But you have to have the discipline to compartmentalize things, and you've got to have the discipline to make backups and to have multiple backups so that you can keep going back till you find something that's clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is why ransomware is on the bottom of the list.
Right. Yeah, it's not rocket science. It's just something people don't have the discipline to do the extra work. Right.
Right. You don't push one button and have instant access.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. The problem. Everybody's gotten lazy. Well, my app, I'm going to push my app. Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets just a little more in depth in some ways. You remember the Yahoo email hack, and you remember the Google hack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's another technique that they use. All this information, if you haven't changed your password, shame on you. All this is on the dark web. In fact, this is where I'm getting this information from. And I definitely am not going to put it on the surface web.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have your credentials, let's say I get David Knight's credentials for your email.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it that way, or I could put a password cracker on your email and crack your password. But either way. Okay, I get into your, and I'm in there, and I would put in emergency, please read, and then either I could send the malware directly, or I could embed it into a document or a photo or whatever. That's mm-hmm. that's the wrapper that changes it. Mm-hmm. And then I'd reach over there and punch send all. So everybody you've ever had contact with is receiving that email. And not everybody's going to be saying, oh, David Knight's in trouble. A lot of people probably won't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say 10 or 15 do.
Mm-hmm.
They open that attachment, boom. They are encrypted, and they're getting ransomware notices. Mm. Of course, they're not going to be too happy with you, but they don't know who sent the email, or as they know, you did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they could be sitting on these passwords for a very long time after they got them years ago.
Yes, if you haven't changed them, mm-hmm. or quit using these stupid email services, which are corrupt and monitored and, you know, surveillance state.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you get an email from a loved one that says, emergency, and you know, for whatever reason, you're going to open it to see what's going on.
That's right.
This is some of the social engineering they use. Hmm. So everyone is open to this type of ransomware. That's why it goes on so much. But, well, let's put it this way. If you're using the cube system where things are compartmentalized, it throws up the screen, oh, we've encrypted your data, send us X amount of money. Well, you just collapse it and say, hey, David, you're sending out the bad things to people.
Yeah.
But that's another technique.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You sent me something about the CIA and some malware that's out there. Tell us about that.
You know, David, I've been on so much, I don't quite remember. I think they've lost control of some more of their malware. If you could refresh me, maybe I could.
Well, you know, we've seen this before, haven't we? I mean, we've seen it with Vault 7 and so many other things, and we've seen all of the Pentagon's data, personal database and everything corrupted. I mean, these people can't guard any of their stuff, and so that's a warning sign to all of us. And the amazing thing to me about it is that we continue to put more and more stuff into cyberspace. We put our elections in there, as we look at that. And go ahead.
Everybody, Biden just did what? Proposing, I don't know. I haven't been watching the news. I've been isolated. But, they're wanting to do this $1 trillion, multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure bill. Wait a minute. We've just had the infrastructure hacked. Can y'all apply some of that money to securing the infrastructure?
No. Well, part of that infrastructure bill is going to be to force us into their 5G cyberspace world. Everything is part of the Internet of Things are all of our transportation, all the cars, everything else, and monitoring everything that we do. But, of course, they're not going to secure any of that, are they?
Well, I mean, all that sounds great and wonderful and very futuristic, but if you don't have any electricity to power it, it's worthless.
That's right.
Let's focus on securing the electrical grid. It's totally ass backwards of what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, part of this, too, we just had there's an ongoing battle between Amazon and Microsoft over this JEDI Pentagon thing. I love the acronym they came up with, Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure. But it's basically just a big database for the Pentagon. And Amazon has been running the CIA's database. And they had a contract that everybody said it looked like it was custom made for Jeff Bezos and Mad Dog Mattis, when he was beloved of Trump and the MAGA crowd, was kind of operating to get this whole thing set up for Bezos. He had a staffer that was very, his high level staffer who was making constant trips to the Amazon headquarters. But it was a $10 billion contract. And perhaps because Trump doesn't like Bezos, he made sure that Microsoft got the contract. And so now they're fighting each other over this. But the bigger issue here that I looked at is the idea that they're going to put all of their eggs in one basket. I mean, you got all of the database there for all the Pentagon, just like they have for the CIA, in one spot for people to hack.
Exactly. And you know, this is you went over it earlier. This goes back to social media. Excuse me. The social media, people are voluntarily putting this information out to be farmed. I mean, it's like barnyard animals. They're being farmed for information. If you do not participate in it, this $10 billion is basically not able to execute what they intend.
That's right.
There's other things you can do to protect yourself from it. But the point is, people do not understand how this data is being collected. They could be listening to this phone call. I'm on a black phone, but that's probably a big issue. That's why my communication sounds strange or encrypted, and it's a black phone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're collecting data for a reason. It used to be for a better a better experience online. We can give you target market what you're interested in. Well, now they've taken it beyond that. No one's saying what this is all about. It's just here's $10 million. Go build this. Let's collect data. That's why? Right. No one asked why.
Well, I talked about yesterday a very troubling thing, a health version of DARPA. They call it HARPA. And they said, well, you know, we want to help. We need to monitor everybody for health purposes. And when all this stuff was being sold to us, marketed to us, the Chinese approach to a pandemic, we had mainstream media organizations saying, you know what, the Chinese are doing with social credit stuff is really pretty creepy, but they're going to be in a much better place than we are because they can control and track everybody. We need to do contact tracing on everybody for everything. And so they're going to bring that in with the health issue. But they're also going to use it, GoTree, as a way to pre-identify somebody that they think might become violent and might commit a crime. And so all this is pre-crime, and they're going to be doing that, they admit, by scouring all your social media, by looking at your phone, by getting everything that's out there on the internet about you, then making determinations through their AI assumptions about whether or not you're a criminal. I mean, this is pure Soviet style gulag stuff. Yeah, you're crazy, so we're going to take you off to the gulag.
Yeah, just wait till you get your microchip. I mean,
yeah,
they're pushing that just as hard as they can. Get your dog chip.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, I from a technical standpoint, I absolutely refuse to go along with it. Sorry, no thanks.
That's right.
You can call me whatever you want to call me, but you pin me in a corner, I'm going to start breaking your toys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're creating a criminal act by conducting criminal acts.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, but, you know, these guys can't even get into Hunter Biden's hard drive. I'm not too worried about them.
they could if they wanted to. They don't want to. I mean, they'll just leave it sitting there.
That's correct.
Yeah. They can be very interested in a very unreasonable way in some people and completely overlook other things. That's the double standard in which we live. But thank you, GoTree. It's been fascinating. I need to wrap this up because I've got a radio program that we're doing the last hour of the podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And so I really appreciate you joining us. And it's been fascinating. And everybody needs to listen to what he had to say. It's a little bit more work. But, you know, would you like to have everything that you own locked up and you have to pay somebody? And maybe they won't unlock it for you even after they get the money. Thank you so much, GoTree. Appreciate that. Okay, before we go to a break, before we end the program, I should say, I just want to cover one more technological issue. And this is something that I've seen bandied around for the last couple of days. Actually, about a week they've been talking about this. But typical of what we've seen from this, some people will call it what it is, a directed energy weapon attack, saying that it's, yes, the White House has admitted that there was a directed energy weapon attack at the White House on the South Lawn at the eclipse last November. Another one after Thanksgiving 2019 in Arlington, Virginia. And yet, and these have involved National Security Council officials. So what are we talking about here? They call it the Havana Syndrome. And this goes back several years now. I forget how many years this is going. But when it happened, I talked about the Alan Fry effect. It's the Fry effect, not the Alan. Alan Fry is a scientist's name. But it's called the Fry effect. And very simply, what it is, is your body responds to different electromagnetic frequencies in different ways. And if you remember a few years ago, you had the Navy Yard shooter, and he took pot shots at some people. I don't remember if he killed anybody. I remember they did kill him. And on his gun stock, he had engraved, "This is my ELF weapon," or "my ELF gun." I forget what it was, but it was ELF. And he was not talking about Legolas. He was talking about extremely low frequencies. The Navy communicates with its submarines worldwide using extremely low frequencies. They've got a massive, massive antenna in the Midwest, which puts out extremely low frequencies, which can penetrate. Low frequencies, just like if you think about sonic signals, right? Your speakers, the high frequencies that come out of the tweeters, they're very directional. And so if you rotate your speakers in a certain way, you're not going to hear the high frequencies as well. But the low frequencies, it really doesn't matter where they are. As a matter of fact, some of the companies that do this will invert the woofer that puts out a low frequency. Low frequencies are not directional. And so the ELF transmission for the submarines is not directional, and it travels a very long way. But it also has physiological effects on people. Going back to the 1980s, Michael Aquino, this guy who identified as a satanic cult member, the Temple of Set, I think was the one that he did. It was out in San Francisco. He was investigated at the Presidio, if you recall. There was a grandson of a pastor, not a pastor, but he was the chaplain, I guess, at the base, the Presidio base, said that his son had said that Aquino had done funny things with him and described a room that Aquino had in his house that was all in black. Aquino had also been on Oprah Winfrey, looked like Herman Munster with his little pointed bangs that he had, and all dressed up like some kind of a warlock or something, bragging about the fact that he was in the military and he could do all this sort of thing. He worked for the NSA. And nothing was ever done to him. He was transferred. Nothing was ever done to him about that alleged pedophile attack. And yet he wrote a paper called Mind Wars. And in it, he said that ELF could be used to cause nausea, discomfort from people. And I don't know if that was what was going on with the Navy Yard shooter. I do know that Alan Fry, who was also working for the Navy at the time, and they seem to be the only branch of the service that's really interested in this type of thing, that his assistant had heard clicking noises when he was working on a particular frequency device, and they figured out that at certain electromagnetic signals at certain frequencies will cause you to hear things, but also cause you to have deleterious effects as well. And so he began documenting that and exploring it. And it's very simple. It's very much like microwave ovens. Microwave ovens, that was discovered by some radar technicians in the military who realized that if they left their coffee cups on top of the microwave transmitter, that they heated up. And that's why the first microwave ranges were called radar ranges, because that's where it came from. So electromagnetic frequencies have biological effects on us. It's very well known. But they call this a sonic attack. It's not a sonic attack. That is one of the symptoms, but it is an electronic attack. It is a directed energy weapon. Even when they say it's microwave, they say, well, it's deliberate microwave or sonic attacks. No, it's the Fry effect, and that might give you an idea of what frequency this is if you wanted to actually pay attention to the research. But the White House has now acknowledged it. They say it causes sensory phenomena such as sound, pressure, or heat, concurrent with or followed by physical symptoms such as sudden onset vertigo, nausea, head, or neck pain. Many reported hearing a loud sound and feeling pressure in their heads, then experiencing dizziness, unsteady gait, visual disturbances. Many suffered long-standing debilitating effects. In one case, a CIA officer ended up with traumatic brain injury. And it also happened in Guangzhou. Guangzhou is the city, large city in China. Of course, all the cities in China are large. Large city in China, though. When we adopted my daughter, the large bureaucracy of the U.S. government was headquartered in Guangzhou. I imagine it still is, not in Beijing or Peking, what it used to be called, but in Guangzhou. And that was where you would have to go to do the paperwork to finalize the adoption to take the child back to the U.S. And it was in Guangzhou that they attacked people at the U.S. consulate, because that's where they had the big station there. They said it can be small, it can be portable. Why am I talking about this? Because, you know, unless you are somebody that a foreign government or even our own government considers to be a threat, you may not be the subject of a directed energy weapon attack. But the very fact that you have these directed energy attacks, and I think it perhaps is not a coincidence that they want to keep calling them sonic attacks, they're microwave radiation. There's electromagnetic radiation of different frequencies that give different effects, which, again, underscores, and I bring this up because it underscores the fact that 5G, besides being the infrastructure for the surveillance and control state, the infrastructure for the smart cities, the infrastructure that will make sure that you go nowhere, do nothing that they don't know about, the infrastructure that will control even the cars because they will ban us driving them. All of that, the 5G and the 6G that's coming, that is the infrastructure of that tyranny. But we should also be concerned about the health effects of this as well. What are the health effects of this? Well, it's going to be different based on the frequency. These are, it's unprecedented that they've used wireless electromagnetic radiation at this frequency. So we don't know. And it's like the vaccine. They don't care because it's ultimately about the control. This is not about a virus. It's not even about the vaccine. It's about the control that they exercise over you with the vaccine. Population control in terms of perhaps depopulation, but definitely population control in terms of surveillance and restrictions. And that's what the 5G is ultimately about. But at the same time, just like the vaccine, it has a biological component to it as well that should concern you. And this is why I'm talking about the directed energy weapons. 5G is it's a lot of, they like to say, well, it's a very high frequencies and we've never done anything with them and we've never tested them. But don't worry, because it's a lower energy level than you typically have with cell phones. Well, it's qualitatively very different. But I also don't know, in terms of the amount of energy that's there, if it's really all that much safer, because the 5G is directed. It is directed. It is steerable. Even though it is line of sight, and perhaps because it is line of sight, they will multiplex these different antennas to focus on you and then focus and then multiplex and go over focus on another phone that they're talking to. And so they're constantly redirecting. And when you are receiving something, you are receiving the combined energy of every line of sight 5G antenna in your vicinity. What is that going to be? Do they care? They don't care whatsoever. It's just like the vaccines that they're now injecting babies as young as six. And the only thing that's stopping any of this, we look at the vaccine passports and regulations. You have a bill in Texas. It does absolutely nothing. With all the virtue signaling that they're putting out there, it does absolutely nothing to protect you from corporate coercion. Now, it may help some of the people at hospitals that get money from the government, because a lot of the majority of hospitals are not private. Most of them are getting county money or state money or something like that. So it could prohibit hospitals like the one in Houston that's been mandating vaccines for people. It could prevent them from doing that. But for the most part, it's not going to stop these corporations who are mandating it, just like it doesn't stop them from forcing you to wear masks even after Abbott removed the mask after like 9 months, right? He got everybody accustomed to it and then said, all right, now I'm taking off the orders. But, you know, hey, if you want to do this, knock yourself out. I've trained you now, right? That's how they train elephants. They put a chain on their leg, and then after a while, even after they take the chain off the leg, the elephant's not going to go anywhere. That's what Abbott did to you, Texans. And so when you look at what's going to happen with this, first of all, they're doing nothing to stop the coercion from corporations. Secondly, this is this law that they're talking about here to prohibit vaccine passports and mandates only applies while the vaccine is classified as emergency use authorization. So as soon as the FDA rubber stamps that for whatever reason, whenever they want to do it, then even the prohibitions for the government go away. That's how bad this is. Well, that's it for the broadcast today. Thank you for listening. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.